Scarves up Seattle! Welcome everybody to a brand new episode of Scarves Up. I am Nat Maymoudis alongside, as always, David Maymoudis. How are you doing today, David?
I'm doing okay.
And we are here to talk about the Sounders in March 2024. We're going to preview April. And it is another start to the season in which the Sounders just cannot figure out how to do things right.
Yeah, or cannot figure out how to do one specific thing right, which is to kick a moving ball into the opponent's net.
So far, through six games, the Sounders have only managed to, or I guess it's five games through
5.1 games.
It is five games. The Sounders have only scored one goal through open play. We have had a fair number of penalties, which in years past, especially recently, has been hard to come by for us. So it's good to know that we're getting penalties called for us again. But you can't always rely on penalties. You have to also score in open play, and we've only done that once, and it was against San Jose, the team that is directly above the Sounders in 13th place in the Western Conference. So, David, what is going wrong for the Sounders right now?
You know, the obvious thing to blame is injuries. That, you know, we've had a lot of people out of the spine of the team. A lot of disruption, you know, probably haven't had the same lineup twice. You know, so I think it's easy to say and probably true that if JP had been there from day one, we would not be in this position. But, you know, on the other hand, I think we have had Morris and Ruiz Diaz, who are the ones most responsible for that last touch, and it just hasn't been happening.
So obviously injuries have been, were very detrimental in this last month. As Pedro de la Vega, of course, he got injured in the game against Austin, which was on March 2nd. He is out for 5 to 8 weeks. At this point, he should still have like 3 weeks before he is back to full fitness. And we have not heard anything that he is making a speedier recovery than the initial timeline for João Paulo, and then for other injuries like Leo Chu. Both of them are like day-to-day moving to full fitness right now is what we've heard most recently, but I don't expect either of them to play in the next game against Montreal. Maybe João Paulo could be available for the game after that. But still, Sounders are taking their time to get back to full fitness, which is good. I mean, we still have plenty of time. But obviously, we would like to have everyone on the field so we don't have to continue to get laughed at by the rest of the league. But in saying that, with all these injuries and stuff, a lot of fans are calling for Smetzer to be removed. And they also want Weibo to be removed. Any thoughts on these fans? I have thoughts, but I want to hear from you first.
You know, I mean, I think Smetzer, it's way too early to blame Smetzer. You know, could you blame the ownership or the GM to say we should be being a bit more bold? I think De La Vega, you know, has the potential to be great, and so it's unlucky that we've seen very little of that so far. So the question of, you know, have the Sounders done enough by going out and making one big acquisition? You know, should they have made five more?
Yeah, I think that's a good point to bring up. Like, I do think Pedro de la Vega, he's going to be super fun. At least he was super fun in the two games we got to see him in. So I'm excited to see more of him. I'm excited to see him hopefully score more goals, since I did pick him in my Football's Life Golden Boot team. So I need him to start raking up the goals when he comes back so I can continue to lead that. But his signing is also not the same level of like a star signing. Not even that the star signing has to be a DP, as we've seen with LAFC and Gareth Bale and lots of people, and most recently Olivier Giroud. But it's been a really long time since the Sounders have made like a big signing who like lots of people have actually know about. Pretty much for the Sounders, I guess this would go. Really, it's only Clint Dempsey would be probably the most recent one. And then up there with Martins, where we brought in a big star. And not that we have to do something like that, but like something like that would be fun for fans to get excited about, because we haven't really had that in a long.
In addition to, you know, to feeling like there hasn't been a big signing, it feels like the club, you know, doesn't have an ambition to get back into the list of the most, you know, most passionate fan bases. You know, the upper deck is still closed. We're not even opening it for the Timbers, you know, let alone getting back to the capacity we used to have a few years ago.
Yeah, you bring in a good point about the upper deck, and it is sad that it feels like there used to be more ambition to get 60,000 plus in. And I think that part of this is because the front office is of the belief in which and it's also why we haven't seen a big signing, is because and that's what's so difficult about talking about the team right now, is like, it's like, okay, if we're gonna bring in someone new, like, who are we taking off? Like, I love everyone who's on this team, which is really good. I think everyone is really good, and they have a lot of potential. But it's like, what's the answer to us not winning? Well, the only answer that I can give, if we're not taking anyone off the field, is we just need to play better. And I think that is part of it. We do just have to play better, in knowing that we can't play down to any of these teams like San Jose, like game against San Jose. We should be winning that game. If we do not play into their hands, which is what we did in that game, then we should win that game. If we just remember who we are, play our style, and play good, then we're going to win games.
Right. I mean,
but
I can't remember another.
Also,
you know, I don't
we
know if
should,
we're going to get
we
into
should,
this in
but
more
also,
detail.
Yeah. But it, as we always say, the most dangerous time in a game is right after a goal has been scored, and San Jose took full advantage in getting back out in front after the Sounders finally proved that they could score from open play. And it came from Danny Musovski, the new player, the only player on the Sounders who has scored from open play this year. Do you think so LAF, just asking, and like, LAFC has made headlines recently in which they're bringing in Kai Kamara and Olivier Giroud. Do you think the Sounders should have pushed for either of these players as we talk about how we're not scoring goals? Are we in need of another forward?
I mean, again, if the Sounders are healthy, even Rui Diaz is going to have trouble finding a place on the field. It doesn't really feel like what we need is a target forward. Now, we do need more goals, so if they're not going to come from our cloud of attacking midfielders running around, you know, it's easy to say that would be the solution. You know, go get a goal scorer and you know, one thing that I feel like we're realizing with it is, you know, Watson paid a lot of money, you know, that scoring a whole bunch of easy goals in front of net is actually very hard. And it would be nice if we were doing it better.
Yeah. In the past week, while Jordan Morris has been receiving a lot of hate online for his play of not scoring, and then specifically one specific chance in the Galaxy game, which really good play from Denning Tevez, and then Morris unfortunately can't put it on frame. Spetzer has stayed with Morris in saying that it's a really good, and he has complimented him by saying that it's a really good play and that he's getting into the right spaces and the goals are going to come. Love to see it. I don't think you, for everything that Morris has done for the Sounders, it is too soon, in my opinion, for how fans are treating them, and just in general about also the fans who are talking about who think Smetzer should be let go. I mean, you can argue about Weibel because he's been in charge for a long time and he hasn't really done much, and he never seems as excited as about the game as Largo as Garth did, but with Smetzer, like there are so many other MLS teams who should be pressuring their team to get rid of their coach before Smetzer. Like, I don't want to hear it about Smetzer right now. Any thoughts about how he's treating Morris and or anything else about the man Schmetz?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously he's shown he can be successful with a set of people. And obviously I think the question is just, what is it going to take for us to score goals? Is it just about lucky bounces, or, you know, is there something we're doing wrong in training or in how team is set up? And I don't know what the answer to that is.
Just curious, do you think when Smetzer does either get let go or move on from the team, do you think he will coach somewhere else, or do you think he will just retire?
Well, you know, at age 110, it's pretty unreasonable to ask him to take another job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously it depends. If it happened next week, you know, then, you know, he's still pretty young. I assume he would go find something else. If it happens in 20 years, then not.
I don't know. I'd be surprised if he took a job anywhere else in the world outside of Seattle, just because of how ingrained with Seattle he is. Like,
right. I mean, obviously, it seems likely that he would move up to some, you know, to some job in the, you know, working with the GM on something.
I mean, even if like Austin, I mean, like, no disrespect for Austin, but like, I think if like some random MLS team, like if they decide to fire Wolf, and then Smetzer got fired next week, like he's not, I think he would be definitely qualified to take that job. Is he taking that job? I would say no. I expect his career will end because he will retire after the Sounders win either another MLS Cup or the Club World Cup. And if he retires, then the only other job I think he could have would be like, is if he could coach the Defiance. He could coach an academy team. He could catch Ballard FC, like, or one of these. The Stars! National team. He'll lead us to the World Cup. I'd take him over Berhalter any day. He actually won something in MLS, unlike Berhalter. But moving on from Berhalter back to the Sounders. Let's talk about the rest of the games that happened in the month. First off, goes back to March 9th. in Philadelphia, where we would see the start of a theme for the Sounders.
Of people with mops out trying to clear the water off a field.
Were there actually people with mops shown in the game against the Galaxy?
There were.
There were also that wasn't as bad as this Philadelphia game, obviously.
The ball wasn't was being actually continuously, stopping.
But there were moments where the ball stopped, and or you would see like a giant puddle when someone kicked something.
I didn't see the ball actually stop the way it did in the Philadelphia game or the U.S. women's national team game.
It wasn't as bad, but there were a couple times where Jackson Reagan passed it back to Stephen Fry, and Stephen Fry like had to adjust.
You know, this is one difference that I notice about, you know, how the pros play compared to when I'm playing soccer. If I'm passing back to my goalie, I don't mind if the ball rolls to a stop at the goalie's feet. But in a professional game, you know, they actually can receive a pass.
Yeah. And where the LA Galaxy and the Philadelphia game differ, obviously there's more rain in the Philadelphia game. But
and it was
I
continuing
feel like,
to rain.
Yeah. And yes, it was not going to let up anytime soon. But
there
I
was
think
actually so much standing water that the ball couldn't bounce at all.
I think in those 5 minutes, though, the Sounders definitely looked like the better team. And it seemed like they were the ones who had already adjusted to knowing how to play in the rain. Which makes sense. I mean, like, it doesn't rain that way the entire every day, 24/7, like people think it does in Seattle. But we looked like we knew how to play, which is not how I felt when we started another game in the month in LA, which is still very weird that it was like this in LA. It felt like that we forgot how to play with water on the field, whereas the Galaxy, they were adjusting well to the ball stopping at random times, which I thought was interesting. And again, I think that's something that's disappointing about the Galaxy game. Obviously, so now the Philadelphia game has been rescheduled. It will start in the 6th minute. After the game was suspended by a replacement referee, which honestly is probably one of the best decisions a replacement referee made during the first
stopping
4 weeks of
saying.
The season,
yes.
where we had replacement referees. They were
no, obviously
atrocious, but they made the right call, which is something that a actual CONCACAF ref was not able to do, or decided not to do, in the CONCACAF W Gold Cup. So props
right.
to
I mean,
them
I
for actually stopping
think
the
best
game.
Decision might have been to cancel it 20 minutes earlier rather than beginning the game.
Well, the best decision would have been to play the game at 1. There is
right.
no
That's
reason
a good
they
point.
couldn't
To
have
see,
played. They
yeah.
could have on Thursday. They could have decided, they could have seen that there was going to be a lot of rain at night, but there was not going to be but there was none during the day. I was literally driving through this area. It was very cloudy during the day. If the game had been played at 1, the Sounders would not have to stay on the East Coast for longer after we played DC to then play play the majority of this game, in which now I think we are not the favorite. I think we were definitely the favorite at the time that we were playing before. Even if it wasn't raining, I think we had a very good chance to beat them because Philadelphia was playing in CCL at the time and they had a rotated lineup. And while we were also rotated, it was rotated in a way that I think that it favored us.
Keep the same 18. You know, so I don't know if they had their starters all on the bench.
No, they didn't have all their starters on the bench. Because this game is suspended and how it will restart in the 6th minute, and you are supposed to And yes, you have to start with the same people who were out on the field before. However, if someone was injured before, or if you want to make a substitution, you can substitute them from the beginning of the game. But first, it has to come from someone who's in the 18. And I think still there is also rules about, like, if like you had picked someone up in between a game getting suspended, like they are still allowed to play in this game. There's complicated rules for it. It's pretty much normal. The only thing that is different is that the clock will start in the 6 minute. Like, I think the same lineups are going to start. I think it is allowed that you are allowed to change it a little. And it's also possible that the formation will change. But again, I think this game will have a different is definitely going to have a different outcome than it would have before, because Philadelphia, now they're out of the tournament completely. They've also been playing better than they were in MLS since then. They went to Portland, who has been playing really well, lost to them at home 3-1, which was a big win for them. So it's definitely interesting. And again, if the game was at, it would have made so much sense if it was at 1 p.m., especially knowing that Philadelphia could not play on Sunday because they had to fly to Mexico to then lose 6-0, which is also the funniest part about this whole storyline, is the fact that the game couldn't get moved and then they got absolutely thrashed. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the second half of that one. And also the first half. That's anything else from the Philadelphia game that you want to touch on?
No, just that it shouldn't have started. And it'll be right. I'm glad we got it back on schedule at not too ridiculous a time when we don't have to make an extra
Yes.
East Coast
Yes, I'm
trip.
happy it's not in September. I really thought it was going to be a Wednesday in September, in between probably us playing home games. So I'm happy that we got it scheduled. I'm pretty sure this is the first time in the Sounders MLS history that we've actually had a game suspended. We've had games that have been weather delayed and then moved to the next day, or they've just had long delays, but I'm pretty sure this is the first time the game will actually start in the 6 minute as it will. And we've had a situation in which you have to like play the same players, which is fun. It's an interesting experience. So hopefully we will get past this experience with 3 points. All right, the next game was back at home against Colorado. Hadn't been playing well. Sounders end up drawing this game 1-1. Penalty in this game taking by Raul Roy Diaz, who does a paninka on Zach Steffen. Obviously, Zach Steffen has a very good penalty record, but nasty. It's a nasty penalty from Rahul. And then late in the game, no one is following Cabral, who does what a good forward does, just cleaning up the rebounds, first to react after a free kick. And he scores, and 11 man Colorado beat 10 men Seattle because Joss Atencio received a red card, and it was the correct call. And I've heard people say that it was bad refereeing here to not give Joss Atencio his red card immediately and go back and play advantage, but I completely disagree with it. I think this is actually great refereeing, because Colorado kept the ball on the play and they had a chance. It did not have to be a denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity. For that to have, for this to happen. I think it's good refereeing, and it is a foul. It's a yellow card. Both of
right.
both
I mean,
of Atencio's
no matter what direction
challenges
the
are yellow
complain
cards.
about the refereeing are saying, you know, are they saying that it's bad to let Atencio keep playing for another minute when he should be off the field? Or were they, you know, are they worried about the scenario where a yellow card is warranted and just played and then the referee forgets to ever come back and do it?
Honestly, I see what you're saying, that we want this to happen. We want them to remember more of the time, but this is progress. This is working in the right direction. I think that this was the last week of a replacement ref supposedly is what I'll say. I think they got it right. This is one of the ones they got correct. Unfortunate for Josh Atencio. I think Josh Atencio has been really good. And for the fans who don't know much about soccer and they just see the red card, they were like, oh, this guy's a hothead. This is not normal Josh Atencio. Though he has gotten cards before.
Right. I mean, it was just unfortunate that it was two sort of soft yellows.
Yeah. No, they're not soft. They're yellow cards. These are clear cut. No, they're clear cut yellow cards.
They were not dangerous plays. They were just yellow cards.
I don't think you can say that they're not in. Yeah, they're not dangerous plays because they're yellow cards. If they were dangerous plays, they would be red cards. There are plays in which he is a little bit late to the ball, which causes him to make contact with the opponent, which means that he gets a yellow card both times, and he is sent off because of that. Smetzer said after this game that we were practicing this exact scenario the week before. Stay with your guy. Watch the rebound. This is basic stuff. This is an example of the Sounders just need to play better. Cannot be giving up goals like this. Let's go to the San Jose game. I mentioned, so before this weekend of the San Jose game kicked off, the MOS referee strike ended. They signed a 5-year new deal. So in 5 years, we will have another referee lockout, essentially. While the regular refs came back, the Sounders were still given a ref who was in charge of the LA Galaxy Inter Miami game, which opened the season. Man Bun Ref, as I will call him, since I do not know his actual name. I watched that game, LA Galaxy versus Inter Miami, which was Inter Miami's second game, LA Galaxy's first game. This was one of the worst ref games I had seen in opening weekend. He was terrible. And he was better in this game against San Jose. But this guy is not ready to be doing MOS games, in my opinion. I did not think he was very good in this San Jose game. Again, better than the Inter-Miami Galaxy game, but not a good ref. Yes, he does give us a penalty in this game. But if he doesn't make the call, I don't think VAR is awarding this as a penalty. It's not clear and obvious. There is contact with Yamar as Yamar gets pushed in the back, but it is very, very soft. This is a soft call, unlike what went on with Atencio. Any thoughts on the penalty or on the man bun referee?
I mean, again, this is, you know, we'll be good to get back to the normal referees.
I mean, this guy might be a normal referee now, because this was when the normal referees were back. He has just been promoted, which is weird to see the scab referees getting promoted. Though yeah. We did see this also with Alan Kelly the last time there was a lockout. Alan Kelly, who is now one of my favorite referees, he was in charge of the Sounders versus SKC in 2014. when we opened the season, and then it was Chad Barrett scoring in stoppage time, started the game. He was in
Bring the last luck out.
Anikkeli was the referee as for that game as a replacement referee, and then he became an MLS referee, and then he ended up refereeing the 2016 MLS Cup. Any other thoughts on the San Jose game? I was saying before, like, we played down to them. Obviously, San Jose was 0-4 when we played them, and they get their first win. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's sort of the most unfortunate thing about the Sounders records now is that, you know, the teams we've been playing against have not really been good teams.
Is Jeremy Abobasi, where does he fall on most annoying opposing goal scorers at this point? Because I don't think he has passed Wondolowski for San Jose, but he's getting pretty gosh darn close. Because whenever we play him, he scores. And there's something just super annoying about the way that he plays. And he's always wearing, he's got one of those, one of like the skinny neck things that he's always wearing.
Right. I don't know what those are.
I don't really know what it does.
Yeah. I don't know if it's meant to measure the strength of a possible impact.
Yeah. Just look at this. It looks like it's like a piece of bent rubber, essentially, but I have no idea what it does. Where do you think he falls? Is he at Len
He's
Hard
not
level?
Russell or
He's not a dirty player like those players. Like, I don't think he's a dirty player, even though he did come from Portland.
Right. Oh, but I mean, there's a certain number of players who just sort of, you know, manage to pop up and score annoying goals at the wrong times.
And he's not also as and I actually think he's good, unlike Jesus Ferreira. Like, Jesus Ferreira is bad, but it also makes him especially annoying when he scores. Like, he's like better than Jesus Ferreira at that level. And that is my point.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. We'll talk about the Galaxy. We already touched on it a little bit, this is really like the first year since pretty much the last time the Galaxy was good was 10 years ago in 2014, the last time they won MLS Cup. I guess they did make it to the playoffs in 2015 and 2016. In 2016, it was when they fell to Colorado. When they brought back Landon Donovan. But anyway, they have just not been very good this year. They've not been very good for a long time, and they finally turned it on. And in this game, they managed to get the win without Jovalish, their forward, who has 4 or 5 goals this year. He didn't even start this game. They have their other forward, Peck, start, and he was the one who got the goal. And I think there are positives for the Sounders in this game with how good the Galaxy have been this year. We did only limit them really to one chance, in which, if it's not raining and on a different day, I think Fry saves it. Fry would definitely want the chance back. And it was only 1-0. On a different day, it definitely very easily could have been a different way. I don't think the fact that they're in first place right now, they're at this point, they're just flying seasons long. But I think it's still very possible, like, that they're just overperforming at this point. Like,
right.
They still very well could miss the playoffs.
I don't think the 12 points they have, you know, characterizes how good they are. And I don't think the 2 points we have characterizes how good we are, but it's also, you know, not easy to defend that we should be in a very different position in people's power rankings.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I again, the season is long. We have plenty of time to turn it around. But we gotta take care of our chances. I do think it is somewhat fun to see the Galaxy have some hope, especially with how annoying LAFC is right now. The fact that we have El Tráfico next week is especially interesting, with LAFC losing to Colorado. It's going to be interesting to see how the Galaxy do against them. This game is at BMO Stadium, so it's at LAFC, but obviously the Galaxy still hold the advantage on having more wins against LAFC, so this is gearing up to be a crazy El Tráfico again. And I heard Ali Moreno on ESPN FC made the comparison, which I agree with, in which the LA Galaxy are essentially the Dallas Cowboys or the New York Yankees of those respective leagues, in which like they are just like parts of the they are just like one big part of their two leagues, and that everyone most people who don't follow the sport religiously know about. And it is better when these teams are in the playoffs. Like, we love having the Cowboys in the playoffs for them to just go out early. And it's the same thing for the Yankees. Anytime someone takes the Yankees out in the playoffs, you love to see it. You love to see that with the Galaxy because of just like, of like who the Galaxy are for MOS.
Right, who they have been over time.
With all this being said, I don't think it will last. I don't think the Galaxy are the number one team in the Western Conference. So the fact that that's where they are right now is very funny. Anything else you want to say about the Galaxy game? For this one, we did see Morris starts up in the wing. He started on the wing in this game instead of them doing the two forward attack. Thoughts
right,
on
I guess with Leo
what the
Chu
Sounders
out
should
and
do
with...
in them for in yeah what. Which formation do you think the Sounders should use moving forward?
Right, and I guess we also had Alex Roldan up at playing winger instead
and
of
we
the back.
We brought Cody Baker in,
yeah,
as well, and Rusnak also started this game, which is huge, huge having Rusnak back.
Yeah, I mean, so again, you know, as we get our midfielders back. And our left wingers back, you know, then we'll see whether we end up in the one forward or two forward set. I mean, I guess the key thing is finding some way to, you know, to get goals in. And, you know, in a lot of ways we've been playing sort of, you know, Rui Diaz as false nine, it feels like, you know, where he's been dropping back into a much higher role. But it sometimes feels like we end up playing with a zero forward set.
Especially when Raul Diaz has to come back so far to just get a touch on the ball. Moving forward to the Sounders' next game, which is back at home. Finally, we don't have to play a team from California. We'll be hosting the Montreal. They're not the Impact anymore. The no longer impactful Montreal team, this is their last. They have opened the season, in which They have played five games on the road. After they play this game, which will be their sixth game of the season, they finally get to play at home. So far this season, they have gone 2-2-1. So pretty even. What are your thoughts on Montreal coming to Seattle? Could this be reminiscent of 2016 when the Sounders got their first win against Montreal in Seattle after our worst start ever? Obviously, we know how that the rest of the season ended.
Those seem similar, you know. Obviously, a beatable team, you know, one that we should punish after a long trip out here. So, you know, I like that analogy.
Points per game, they have one of the higher points per game of any team in MLS, really. I mean, just showing the quality of the Eastern Conference when you look at points per game. Definitely the Sounders should be able to get past this Montreal team, who are on the bottom half of the Eastern Conference. Any changes to the lineup that you expect? Do you expect Cody Baker to start back to start in the defense instead of
Atencio will be back.
Atencio was already back. He was already back. He was suspended for the San Jose game.
He was back in the... Okay, and I guess Vargas was out also.
Yeah, Vargas was out. That is why Alex Rodon was moved up.
Yeah. Right. I mean, again, I guess it just depends who we have back. We won't have JP back to start, certainly. Yeah, I mean, again, I think we know who our ideal lineup is and just want to see everyone coming back in. I don't mind seeing Baker there. You know, I mean, I think he can, you know, that his presence in the lineup doesn't scare me. And, you know, if we can figure out a way to get Alex even more involved in the attack, that's not a terrible thing.
Do you have any thoughts about Kita Hara and his start? He got the start against San Jose. First MLS
start.
Yeah,
I mean, he seemed fine, you know, and Leyva seemed fine.
But definitely not as an exciting start as the first time we got to see both Atencio and Vargas when they first started. Like,
right. I mean, I think it's, you know, they're,
I thought Leyva was good. I think Leyva was good. I feel bad for Leyva that he was the first of Atencio and Vargas, and then he kind of got overshadowed. But I don't think he's actually been bad. Like, he was very good for Colorado, and I think the fact that he was able to go unknown last year was huge. And the fact that we got him back is huge for us, because I think he's still a good player. Would it also be nice to have someone like Kai Kamara on the bench if we're LAFC? That would also be nice.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we'll keep an eye on Kita Hara for the future. After the game against Montreal, the Sounders go back out on the road and we'll play Dallas in Frisco. We never play well in Frisco. I am scared. Any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, again, a game that I feel like we should be able to win, but, you know, one that looks objectively more difficult than the games we haven't managed to win so far. So,
Dallas right now, Dallas usually much better at home than they are on the road. They are 1-2 at home right now. And that does include losses in the middle. I mean, they are also in 12th place, but we saw what happened to San Jose. So we'll see what happens for that one. On April 20th, the Sounders will host Vancouver in the first Cascadia Cup match in Seattle, back at home, before we have to go and play on the East Coast, play two away games, because the only thing we have is away games. It feels like we should have a lot of home games back to back at the end of the season, and we don't have as much as what it seems, but it is still all fair somehow. Thoughts on Vancouver making a lot of changes. They're in second place right now in the Western Conference, with 10 points, 3 wins, 1 loss, 1 tie. Any thoughts on Vancouver?
Again, not as good as their record shows. We're not as bad as our record shows, but it just shows that it's good to get points when you can. So, we've got a lot of ground to make up if we are the team we claim we are.
And before we will play Philadelphia on April 27th, we will play DC. Well, DC is on April 27th. Philadelphia is on Tuesday, April 30th. DC at home has been much better than they have been on the road. Though that they have had, they've drawn on the road. Having a very good season. Christian Benteke has picked up right where he left off last year, scoring goals. This game against the Sounders will be one of the few times I hope he does not score, since he is also on my Golden Boot team. I think this one's going to be a fun one. DC plays they're a very sloppy team. It makes sense that Christian Benteke is pretty much providing everything for them in what's good. I think he is hiding how bad this team is, similar to the ways that Zlatan was hiding how bad the Galaxy was in 2019. If you are a big, tall, strong forward, you're going to score goals, even if the rest of your team is bad. So for this DC game, if we can shut him down, I think we should be able to get a good result. All right, those are the games that are coming up. We already talked about Philadelphia. That's on the 30th. We'll see what happens in that one.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens in the rest of April. Once April is over, or hopefully mid-April in this break, we'll get Joao Paulo back. I am going to predict that we will get Joao Paulo back for that Vancouver game. That is okay. When I predict that he will come back.
As a starter, so, or just as his first game back?
I'm going to say starter. I'm going to say he's going to start that game.
I think it is possible
that he will get called, that he could be on the bench for Dallas, but I also don't think he will get, but I'm going to predict he won't get used in the FC Dallas game. That's my prediction for Paulo. I expect, and then hopefully we can see Pedro de la Vega back after this month is my prediction for him. I expect him to be back for the Galaxy game. Leo Chu, I'm going to predict the DC game. I think the DC game would make a lot of sense, and that would be huge if we can have him available for that. With that being said, he did also start the game against Philadelphia. So maybe he wouldn't play in the DC game if they're thinking that he is going, that he will actually start game. Yeah. But also if like he is the case where it's like a starter is now injured, you are allowed to replace them. So we'll keep an eye on what happens with that. Should be an interesting situation. I'm not sure how the
overall the should be an work. Interesting month. Obviously objectively sort of a tougher looking month than March. So, but we'll hope the Sounders can come out with many times as many points as they managed in March.
Yeah, and to all the Sounders fans, stay positive, guys. Season's long. We're not We're not completely lost and in the dark as we have been in the past. And look what happened in the past when we started this when we started like this. We have rebounded. We'll get into the playoffs. Inter Miami, they're also struggling. They're playing terrible without Messi. They're still going to make the playoffs. No one's worried about them. Remember, the MLS season is long, and no one cares about the supporter shield.
Yep.
And with that, that's going to do it for this episode of Scarves Up. We want to remind you to follow us on Instagram at Scarves Up Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Scarves Up Pod. And if you want to send us questions, contact the show at scarvesuppodcast.com. And final reminder, if you want to listen to my other radio show where I will talk about everything that is going on around the league, especially with Nashville and NYCFC, you should listen to Football is Life wherever you listen to podcasts. For the Sounders, next game at home versus Montreal, remember to keep your
Scarves Up.